Praise the Lord. Well, man, a lot's been going on. A little different than normal, yeah? Amen. Different is not always a bad thing. We're going to be constantly changing. I'm going to start out like Pastor Fred usually does, talk about my 30 miles. But I actually got my 30 miles in. Where you at, Pastor? I said, I actually got my 30 miles in. I got it all in yesterday. 30 miles in one day. Pray for me. I'm hurting. No, I did a triathlon with Lynn Putnam yesterday morning, and we ended up dead last. But I'm just holding on to that promise. You know, the last shall be first. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see. But, man, how many of y'all have been keeping up with this whole thing with the presidents, with this whole election with Obama and Hillary and all this, you know, madness? How many of y'all been keeping up with that a little bit? Crazy. I was in Connecticut, and some of my family was talking about it. That's where I'm originally from. And my uncle went and shared this. He said, hey, John, he said, all right, there's a boat, and it's out in the middle of the ocean, and it's got Obama, Hillary, and McCain. The boat capsizes. Who gets saved? America! Praise the Lord. We need to be praying for this election. Lord, have mercy. Good night. We are in need of some help. Cool. Well, today we're talking about walking with God. If you have your Bibles, you could find in Luke 24. That's where we're going to be at in verse 13. For those of you who don't know, we usually tend to stand for the reading of the word, and it's nothing, not just a vain reputation or tradition. It's something that we do because we honor God's word, and we believe that he speaks through his word, and so we want to honor that. Fred's been preaching about honor, and the more we honor, the more we can receive. So if we honor God's word and believe that it has something for us, we can really receive today. So if you'll stand for the reading of the word, we're going to open up in Luke chapter 24. And we're going to start in verse 13. And it says, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem, and do you not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things, he asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and they told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, how foolish are you, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what he had said in the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village they were going to, Jesus acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over. So he went with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us as he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, God, and we thank you that you are here in this place. We thank you, Lord, that your presence is felt even in the worship. And God, we just rejoice, Lord, because we know that you inhabit our praise, that you live in our thanksgiving. So God, we give you honor. And we give you glory, and we just thank you, Father, for being here. And Father, we ask, Lord, that you would come and that you would give us enlightenment, that you would open our eyes, Lord, to see and to know you more, God. Father, I pray right now that you would open our hearts, Lord. If there's any distractions, Lord, that you would calm those. Holy Spirit, would you open us to receive your word, to receive, to hear from you, God. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Today we are talking about walking with God. Here they are, right? These disciples and someone Jesus is following. For 3 years they followed this Christ. They followed the one whom we call Jesus. And after 3 years of following him, suddenly he's gone. They saw him die and suffer, and he's gone. And they're perplexed. They're wondering what's going on. So here a couple of them are, and they're walking down this road to Emmaus. And they're saying, they're downcast, they're sad, and they're talking, they're discussing about all the things that had happened. And here Jesus shows up in their midst and starts walking with them, but they don't recognize him. And so they're all walking together. And Jesus begins to talk to them. And they still don't recognize him until they go to this certain place where he sits down and he takes the bread and he breaks it. And suddenly it was like, boom, their eyes were open and they realized, oh my God, it's Jesus. This is the Christ. I think they were reminded when Jesus at the Last Supper took the bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body broken, given for you. Take this in remembrance of me. I mean, he was just breaking the bread before them. And I don't know if y'all seen the Passion of Christ before, but I love how they do that and they display it. When Jesus is being lifted up on the cross, it goes to a flashback of Jesus lifting up the bread. And then when his body is being broken, he takes the bread and breaks it. Man, that was his body being broken for us. And suddenly they see this, and man, their eyes are open, and they realize, wow, that was Jesus. And then Jesus disappears, and they look to each other and said, were not our hearts burning inside of us when he talked to us and when we walked along the road? Were not our hearts burning inside of us? Suddenly they realized that it was Christ. Man, I want to talk to you today about walking with God, knowing him and knowing his ways. I think about Amos 3:3. It says, how can two walk together unless they agree? Right? Man, the Bible is clear. Jesus, how many of y'all have heard repent before? Repent, repent. John the Baptist, repent, the kingdom of God is here. Jesus, repent. And I think a lot of times we don't even know what repent means. Repent means to change your mind. How can two walk together unless they agree? Truth is, church, that man, we have to change our mind. We have to repent. We have to come to believe that whatever it is that's in this word, it is true. And reality is the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And we are like the grass and the flower because our life is but a vapor. It's but a breath. Here and gone. How many of y'all know life is short? Time flies. Man. And so it's God's word that stands forever. And man, sometimes we got some things that are up in our hearts, that are in our minds, that we just don't understand this word. And when the word says, we just don't want to believe it. We just don't want to apply it. We just don't. I'm all right. How many of y'all been there before? But man, we have to come in alignment. We have to come to agreement what it is that God said, because this is the word of God and it stands forever. So we're talking about walking with him. And how can two walk together unless they agree? We have to learn to agree with God's word and what it says for us, because it's going to bring liberty. It's going to bring freedom in our lives. So think about relationships, right? God is a relational God. He created us in his image. We are relational beings. We love relationships. We love friends. We love when we get a boyfriend and girlfriend, or man, you're married. I mean, you just love relationships. You love family. We are relational people. And God is a relational God. So I began to kind of think about different relationships that I have. I began to think about my father. God calls himself our father. Some of you, when I say God is our father, have all kinds of different thoughts in your mind because you had a bad father. Maybe you've never even met your father. Maybe you have issues of abandonment. So when I say God is our father, man, you don't want to have anything to do with our God. Some of you maybe have had a good dad. Maybe you had a dad who's been around and been supportive. So when I say God is your father, you can understand that. And you can say, okay, yeah, that's good. Man, we have a father that is a good father. So whether you have a great father or whether you haven't had a good one or have never even met your father, we have a father. Think about a father. What does a father enjoy doing? A father enjoys providing for his family. A father enjoys being with his family. A good father enjoys, man, protecting his family at all costs, taking care of his family, making sure that his family has all their needs. Do y'all hear me? Truth is, we have a God who is our Father, who loves to take care of all of our needs, who loves spending time with us, who loves protecting us and looking out for our best interest. Do you hear me? I also began to thought about a mentor, right? I have some mentors. I think of God as a mentor. He's our shepherd. He's the one who leads us, right? So God is a mentor. When I speak to my mentors, when I talk to Fred or I talk to different mentors that I have, I'll do some talking. Maybe I'll talk about some of my life and then maybe ask for some insight, and that's why I'll share some of that. Or maybe I'll just ask questions. But you know, the majority of the time that I do when I'm with my mentors, I listen. You'll hear me. My mom always says, Johnny, you have two ears and one mouth. What do you think that means? Man, we all need to listen. When we're with God, how often do we just talk to him? Do we just, you know, diarrhea of the mouth and then peace, good night, I got to go? Man, we need to take some time to listen. And part of that is opening up his word and saying, God, speak to me. I want to hear from you. I believe that you have good things for me. I believe that you have insight and some wisdom on some things that I don't know. You are God. You've been here before I was. You made me. You know what I need more than I know what I need. I want to trust you, and I want to begin to learn from you. We need to listen in prayer. We need to listen through the word and meditation. I think of also God as being our friend. Man, I love being around my friends. I love being around people who enjoy me, who will celebrate me and not just tolerate me. Right, Fred? Come on. Fred always says, surround yourself with people who will celebrate you and not tolerate you. And I love being around people who celebrate me. I mean, and man, that is our God. He calls us friends. He's saying, you are friends of God. He calls you friend. And man, I don't know about you, but I love being around people who love me and enjoy my company and who delight in me. Guess what? That's our God. He enjoys you, he loves your company, and he delights in you. So he's saying, come. He's saying, come to me. I want to hear about your day. Come to me. I want to spend time with you. I enjoy you. Man, some of us have in this mind that God is a God who's a judge, who's going to bust us, a God who's far away, who doesn't care. Man, if you've heard that, that is a lie. Our God is love. He cares for you. So thinking about this idea of God being a relational God, man, I want you guys to go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10. And I want to share this with you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. It says, for we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Did you get that? These people said, yeah, we've had the gospel preached to us. But guess what? It did nothing for us. Why? Because they did not combine it with faith. How is it that we can come to church week after week, maybe even get in the word sometimes, you know, throughout the week, and it do nothing for us? Our families, same. Our lives, the same. Why is that, church? Because I promise you, if you don't mix this with faith, if you don't step out and believe, it's going to do absolutely nothing. It will profit you nothing. So you wonder why you've come to church and, man, you haven't found help in God. Have you stepped out in faith and have you believed? Have you heard something that Fred's preached? Have you heard something and say, you know what? I'm going to hold on to that. I don't know what my circumstance looks like. I mean, I don't understand what's going around. But God, you said this. I'm going to read it. I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to stand upon it. Amen. And I'm going to stay here no matter the storm, no matter what is going on around me. I believe you and I'm going to stand upon your word. Because, man, if we don't do that, it's going to do nothing for us. And we could come to church all we want. And we could read our Bible all we want. But if we don't mix it with faith, nothing will change in your life. Do you hear me? So check this out. Hebrews chapter 4, follow a little bit further. Verse 14, it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then come approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need. Do you realize that we have a Christ who died for you once, but yet he's still dying to be with you right now? He died to have you, and he's dying to be with you now. That he recognized, man, he was tempted in every way. He was tried in every way. Some of y'all, man, I just don't understand. John, you ain't walked a mile in my shoes, man. You don't understand the pain and suffering I've gone through. You don't understand. Well, you know what? You could say that to me because you're right. I may not understand, but you can't say that to him because he understands. Because every area where you think you're suffering, he suffered. And you know what? He didn't just do it once. Because the reality of it is, he is walking with you right now, just like on Emmaus Road. You may not see him. You may not recognize him. But he is walking with you, holding you, comforting you through those times. Church, we need to go to him. When we got issues, when we got some stuff in our heart, we need to go to him because he's walking there with us. And if we don't, man, we're not going to get help. We are not going to receive anything. Do you hear me? Let's go a little further. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 through 9. We're just going to be in the Word all day today. I hope that's all right. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. It says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. And although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. You get that? I want to ask you a question. I want to share three things and then ask you a question. Satan attacks us. He tempts us. He accuses us. He reminds you of your past. I mean, you know, he'll pull your strings and he'll push your buttons. He's been doing it for thousands of years. He knows how to mess with you. He knows how to make you depressed. He knows how to leave you oppressed. He knows how to get you in bondage. He knows, right? So when he attacks, we got three options. How many of y'all like options? Multiple choice. We have three options, all right? Option number one, we give up. We give in. Say, all right, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I'll sin. All right, okay, I'll just take that depression. We just kind of receive it. We just take it. We just take whatever the enemy wants to throw on us. Why? Because a lot of times we are ignorant and we just don't know. So option number one. Option number two, we just kind of stand there and endure it. And we're just taking it. Just one thing after another. Enemies messing with our family. We're just taking it. Messing us with on our job. We're just taking it. Just one thing after another. We're just taking it. And sadly enough, I think that's where the body of Christ stays. I think that's where a lot of times we are today as a church. That we just are taking it and just enduring it. Christ did not leave us there. He said that, man, the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and abundant life. He didn't just leave you so that you can endure his attack and endure his temptation. No, he gave us a third option. You know what that third option is? Faith. Activate your faith. You know what faith in action looks like? Praise. Thanksgiving. God, I don't understand what this circumstance is. I don't understand why this is happening in my family. I don't understand what's going on here. But God, I'm going to praise you and I'm going to thank you because I know that you are faithful and I know that you are worthy. And I don't know all this stuff and it's messing with me, but God, you are worthy and you got this circumstance and you got this situation under wraps. And I'm going to praise you. I thank you, God, for taking care of my family. I thank you, God, for... Do you hear me? Let me ask you a question now. If you were to go home and find, man, we just had a tragedy in Sydney. If y'all seen the news, you know what I'm talking about. Man, something just, man, if you were to go home and you were to find your family tied up or being beaten, mistreating, and there were a few people in there just mistreating them, right? And man, they're wrecking your house and they're messing with your family. What would you do? Would you just sit there and just kind of watch and just, well, they already got them tied up. Would you just kind of endure it and just hang in there, guys? It's going to be okay. And just kind of, you know, just watch it happen. You better believe if that happened to some people I loved, man, and I saw that, man, I might have to get unsanctified on them. I would have to bust them up. I mean, I would get them off of my family. Do you feel me? So then let me ask you a question. Why is it that we have the enemy attacking our families, attacking our lives, and we're just taking it, and we're just watching it, and we're just letting it happen? Why? Do you hear me? Church, we need to not let the enemy take what he is wanting to take in our family. So when the enemy is messing with you and with your family, man, that is when you get on your knees and you surrender and you say, God, I can't, but you can. And I want to believe you for more. I want to believe you for my family. Church, we need to learn how to pray. Did you read that in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, where Jesus, on his life on earth, he cried out with loud petitions. He cried and he wept. Our Christ, he wept. Man, we need to learn how to weep for our family. We need to learn how to praise him. Say, God, my marriage looks one way, but I'm going to thank you and praise you for restoring it and turning it around. Church, we walk by faith and not by sight. Do you hear me? How many of y'all are complaining about them gas prices? My dad sent me an email the other day, and I enjoyed it. He sent this email, and it was a little joke, and this guy says that, man, I got home from work and after a long day of work, and my wife says, honey, I want you to take me somewhere expensive. So I took her to the gas station. Y'all, if you've been complaining about those gas prices, stop. And if you hear someone complaining about the gas prices, you know what that is? That is an opportunity to share Christ. Why? Because if we do believe that God is our Father, and if we do believe that He will provide for every single one of our needs, and if He gave us His Son, and He who gave us His Son will then give us all good things, why are we complaining and why are we worried? Do you hear me? We need to make the most out of every opportunity. That's what Christ said. That's what Christ did. What the enemy meant for evil, God turns around and uses for good. What they thought was death and sadness, and they were downcast because Christ was gone, man, suddenly He flipped the lid. The tomb rolled away, and man, He came and He rose. And that is our Christ. He's an overcoming Savior. We need to make the most out of every opportunity. Do you know what a Christian is? It's a little Christ. And so we are a little Christ, and we are to be redeeming everything for Him. So someone's complaining, and someone's, man, do you want to know a secret? Do you want to know how not to worry about gas prices? I mean, do you want some help in that department? Let me talk to you about my God. Let me talk to you about my Father, who promises to take care of every single one of my needs. Do you hear me? Why is it that we are so like the world sometimes, that we just come in this flow and flow with our culture? Because the truth is, God is asking you to stand up in faith. And He's asking you, say, you know what? My children, you live by faith and not by sight. So will you start living by faith and not by sight? Will you start believing on my word and start standing upon my word, no matter what your circumstance looks like? Do you hear me? Check this out. Back in Luke chapter 24, where we just were. They're on this walk, right? And Jesus shows up and He begins to talk to them. And this is what He says. He says, man, how foolish are you and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and enter His glory? You remember what glory says? Fred breaks this down for us. Glory means God's original intent and His original design, right? So it says, did you not know that the Christ had to suffer so they could enter into His glory? He had to suffer so they could enter into God's original intent and original design, right? What are we called again? Christians? Little Christs? So what does that mean? We have to suffer in order to enter into God's original intent and original design. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? But it's through that suffering. Some of y'all asking, man, John, you don't understand my situation. Man, God, why is this happening? Why? And we start complaining. And why? Because we're looking at our circumstances and we're looking at it right point blank like we have no faith, like we are the world and we're not children of God. But man, if we would become children of God, if we would see our inheritance, if we would know that He calls us sons and daughters, if we believe in Him, then He gives us eternal life. And every good and precious promise is yes and amen in Christ. And that if we would just stand upon His word and believe Him, then He would act on our behalf. Says, God, I don't understand, and I can't do anything. I've done all that I can. I surrender, and I give You. I just get before You and say, God, thank You. Thank You for taking care of what I cannot take care of. Thank You for fighting for me where I can no longer fight. Do y'all hear me? Man, we need to watch what's coming out of our mouth. And we make the most of that opportunity. We need to rejoice. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. How is it that these people who walk with Jesus can say these things? Because they understood. They got it. That it didn't matter if they were shipwrecked. It didn't matter if they were abandoned. It didn't matter. No matter what happened, they were rejoicing in God. Because they knew something. Because their suffering was bringing about God's original intent and His original design for them. Man. Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble, but take heart. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world, and I give you my peace. Man, we've got a promise. Christ, yeah, He suffered and He died, but He didn't stay there. He rose, and He lives, and He conquers, He reigns. And the truth of the matter is, just as Christ suffered, and learned obedience through suffering and entered in His glory. So we are called to suffer. Whether it's things at work, things at home, gas prices, whatever it might be, we are called to do it and we are called to endure and rejoice in it. You realize that the Israelites, once out of captivity, could have entered the promised land in a matter of weeks. How long did it take them? 40 years. Why? Because they were murmuring and complaining. Let me ask you a question. Are you delaying your destiny? Are you delaying the very things that God has for you? God has a whole lot for you, and he wants to get it to you. But as you're murmuring and complaining, you know what he's saying? Take another lap. Go ahead and take another lap. Man, we are taking laps and laps around our destiny. It's right there. It's waiting for us. If we would just get a glimpse of what our God is trying to get us, and man, we would rejoice. I wrote that down. Faith in action is praise. Praise is faith in action. Man, we are people of faith. We need to live by faith. We ought to be known by our praise. We ought to be known by our testimony. As we had a few people get up here and give testimonies, Revelation 12:11 says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They overcame by what Christ had done and by their story, what they did. Do you realize the power in your testimony? When's the last time you shared it? Maybe you don't realize you have one. Ask God what it might be. Testimony is simply, that means story. It means a story of how has God been faithful? What has he done in your life? And if he hasn't done anything, is that because you're not mixing the word with faith and you're just not profiting and not getting any value from it, coming to church and not being changed? Do you hear me? Because if you step out in faith, you're going to have a story. If you step out, God is faithful and he cannot lie and he will take care of you. Do you hear me? Man, I think some of us are almost overwhelmed. We look on the news and we see all the things that are happening and we just don't think we can make a difference. We're like, oh no, I mean, I'm not one to have a youth group. Man, I don't preach in front of hundreds of people. Man, I don't know how much I can make a difference. I mean, I'm just, you know, a little old me. Man, some of y'all might know this story. I love it. First, Henry Nouwen said this. He says, those who want to be for everyone find themselves often unable to be close to anyone. I might have to read that again. So here this old man is, and he's on the beach, and he's finding all these starfish up on a shore, and he goes and he's just picking them up and just throwing them out into the ocean, and this young guy comes by, and he says, man, what are you doing? And this old guy says, well, I'm trying to help and save these starfish. They're all going to die. They're going to get dried up. And he's like, man, you can't possibly make a difference. Look at all these starfish. And so this old man goes ahead and just kind of bends over one more time, and he grabs the starfish, and he throws it into the ocean, and he looks this young guy in his face, and he said, I made a difference to that one. Y'all hear me? Check this out. Henry Nouwen said this. He said, man, those who want to be for everyone find themselves often unable to be close to anyone. Look at our Christ. Look at the example he left us. He preached to hundreds, and he preached to thousands, but he poured his life into 12 and especially invested into 3, Peter, James, and John. Do y'all get that? So here we are, we're wanting to change the world, we're wanting to do all this, and we're not even following our God's model. Man, you know how this church started? With a few people. You know how a pastor started his ministry? By discipling a few people, by pouring into a few people. And as he did that, God would open the door. But you know what he's still doing? He's pouring into a few people. You're looking at one of them. You see what's happening. God is reproducing Christ in through Fred, through others. And that's what he's calling you to. So I dare you to ask God. I dare you to ask him, God, who are the 3 people you want me to invest in? Some of us, we think we can't make a difference. You can make a difference. You can. Ask God who. Ask God when. Ask God what. Talk to him. Man, this is walking with God. Do you hear me? It's a walk. How can 2 walk together unless they agree? Man, we need to walk with God and we need to hear from him. Sometimes we're like those people on the Emmaus walk, right? And we are just not seeing him. I dare you to ask him to show himself in the midst of your suffering. I dare you to ask for eyes to see, and you begin to see that he is right there with you through it all. So check this. Not only is Christ suffering, I wrote down 3 things. I wrote, suffering is an opportunity. How many of y'all seen that before? Suffering is an opportunity. Man, I don't know about you, but I love being on vacation. I love being on the beach. I love being 75 degree weather, you know what I'm saying? Just beautiful sunshine and maybe a little cool breeze, you know, laying on the hammock. I mean, just enjoying everything going right, having a good meal, you know. You feel me? I mean, I enjoy a day like that, but what happens when you got a day where it's raining It's ugly outside. Your car breaks down. Man, one thing's wrong here with the family, another thing at your job, and one thing after another. Man, that's a whole lot harder to rejoice on one of those days, right? Suffering is an opportunity. We need to get this in our minds. If James could say, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials, how could he say that? Count it all joy, because he knew something. Suffering is an opportunity for three things. Suffering is an opportunity to become like Christ. You guys, every time you're suffering, guess what God thinks of? He thinks of his son, Jesus. And you know how near he is to his son? Man. So he thinks of you in your suffering. He knows you. It's an opportunity to become more like him in suffering. Suffering is another opportunity. It's an opportunity to exercise faith. We already talked about this. Circumstances says one thing, but man, God says something else, and we exercise faith. Because we, man, if you get that in Hebrews 4:2, if you can get that, man, the word will do nothing for you if you do not mix it with faith. But if you do mix it with faith, man, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Man, there involves some waiting in faith. We're in this microwave society, America, everything now, drive-through. I want it now. Man, we need to wait upon God sometimes. Man, we want it our way. But like Christ, he said, man, I want this cup to pass. I don't want to do this suffering. But God, not my will, but your will be done. And church, we need to get to that place where we can say, God, not my will, but your will be done. I want to have faith. I want to wait upon you. You guys, God says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I don't know if you've seen some people diligently seeking him, but I have. And I've seen some people's lives and their lives being blessed because they diligently seek him. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Psalm 31:19 says this. It says, how great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. I love that verse because it's this idea of God storing up goodness. Can you picture that? I mean, I think of, you know, maybe me storing up goodness, or, you know, my parents storing up goodness for me for my birthday or for Christmas or, you know, something like that. But God, I mean, who created all the universe and some. I mean, God who created everything, storing up goodness. How great is that goodness which God stores for those who fear him, which he bestows, which means shows, pours out on those who take refuge in him. And he's going to pour it out in sight of men that others will see. Man, you know why I love my pastor? It's because I see his life being blessed, and I recognize that his words are not just words, but it's his life. And his life is prospering. And so I know that if I follow him and I believe the word, that just as he is going to be prospering, I am going to be prospering. Do you hear me? And I mean, prosperity is not just a money thing. No, not at all. I'm talking about joy. I'm talking about peace. I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about hope. I'm talking about when all things are going wrong, you can still rejoice and you can still praise and you can weep tears of joy and you can thank God in the midst of your storm. Do you hear me? That's what I'm talking about. Suffering is also an opportunity to praise God. It's an opportunity to become like Christ. It's an opportunity to exercise faith. It's an opportunity to praise God. Man, that's hard to do sometimes, right? Man, we need to be asking him for grace to praise him in the storm. There's two things along this Emmaus journey that we really pick up, that we really learn. One is this, that man, Christ is with us. When we were downcast, when we were sad, when we were going through it, he's right there with us. And he's going to bring revelation. He brought revelation where suddenly their eyes were open. They realized, wait a minute, this suffering, all this stuff, Christ had to suffer so he could enter into what God originally intended. So maybe we too have to suffer so that we could enter into what God's originally intended, his plan, his design. So that's one thing. You want to know the other thing? We are little Christ, and we are called to be that for someone else. We are to come alongside those who are believers and non-believers, those who are suffering, those who don't know Christ, those who are going through it, and we're called to walk alongside them. Just as Jesus walked along on the Emmaus Road, we are called to walk alongside them and to show them the truth and to give them understanding, to pray for them, to care for them, to love them, and to communicate what it is that we hear to them. Some of y'all, man, I just can't make a difference. I don't know how to verbalize things, whatever. I want to share a brief story with you, and we're going to wrap up. I always, at restaurants, 9 out of 10 times, after I go to a restaurant, I will write on the receipt, and I will just write, you know what I'm saying, a little note to the server you know, make sure to know their name, call them by name throughout the time, you know what I mean? Just try to bless them and love them. I give them a big tip, and then I write a personal note, and I usually write down a scripture. And I've done that for years, and I've never seen anything, you know, from it. I've never seen any fruit. I've never seen, you know, whatever. Well, I happened to, you know, do that up here in Sydney at the Applebee's maybe a couple months ago, and I think, Fred, we were out, and so anyways, that happens, and about a couple weeks ago, I run into this girl, and she says, hey, she's like, do you remember me? I was like, yeah. I was like, you look familiar. I was like, don't you work at Applebee's? She's like, yeah. And she's like, you wrote something on a receipt, didn't you? You said you wrote some scripture. And I was like, yeah. I was like, she's like, yeah, trust in the Lord. I was like, yeah, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. And she's like, you know what? She's like, that got me in church. And I was like, just a receipt? I mean, just a little note? I didn't realize what God was doing in her life, and I didn't even realize I was being led by the Spirit. But I wrote that down, and that was the first of four encounters with that verse within a week. One on a bookmark, one on a billboard, another one. And she went on and began to, it told me, and she's like, my life's been changed. She's like, God has done amazing things. Do you hear me? Do not underestimate your influence. Do not underestimate the things that you can do, little or big, that can make a difference for Christ. Love is powerful. And as Fred's been talking about honor, and that's the highest form of love, as we honor people. Because if we do not honor them, if we dishonor them, we are treating them as normal, and we are just kind of whatever, not even caring. But if we honor them, man, something happens. We get blessed, we receive, but also something happens in them. And they, even as Christ suffered and learned obedience through suffering, and through his suffering became the eternal source of salvation for all who believe and all who obey, so it is with us, that when we suffer and when we learn to obey and when we learn to, we are going to become salvation to all those around us. We are going to become their source of salvation. As Fred's been talking about, and we are saved through grace, and we are the body of Christ. We are his hands and his feet. And as we extend grace, man, people don't deserve it. People don't. Man, who are we? Did we deserve it? Did we deserve God becoming Christ, becoming human, coming on our level, thinking that we were something more? He thought that we were higher up, and so he died for us because he wanted to be with us. And who are we to say, man, that person don't earn my respect. That dude, you don't understand. I'm not honoring my parents. I'm not, you ain't know. Do you hear me? And Christ is our example. We need to look to him as we learn to walk with him. You guys, I just want to share, man, God is good. He's been good. He's been real good. He's been good to me better than I deserve. And I'm grateful. There are so many benefits when walking with him. Man, we need to fight in prayer. When you guys have done all that you can to think to help your family or to think to help the situations that are going on in your life, that's when you just need to get alone with God. You need to get on your knees, and you just need to praise him. You just need to worship him. You need to set yourself before him and say, God, I can't, but you can, and I believe you. And I rejoice because I'm wanting to walk by faith and not by sight. There are so many promises. Man, so many good promises. There is refreshing in the presence of the Lord. How many of y'all were refreshed when the teens were leading us in worship? No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. There's no sweeter name. There is fullness of joy. There is peace. There is forgiveness, and there is mercy. Jason, if you would come, I ask that you would just bring that guitar and just lead us. You guys, right now, this, man, so often, how many of y'all go to a football game, a basketball game, you know what I'm saying? Where you got thousands of people, right? And they're, you know, a lot of them are just kind of, you know, watching the game. And you got these 12 people or 10 people or 20, whatever. You got all these different people on the court or in the field. I mean, overworked, overtired. I mean, just absolutely exhausted, yet giving their all. And then you got a bunch of overweight people all around, you know what I'm saying? Just kind of watching, just spectating. So often that is us as the body of Christ. So often we come to be entertained. We come and we just watch. You guys, this is not a time for watching. This is a time right now. You need to search your heart. You need to ask God what it is. Maybe you don't know him. Maybe you need to know Christ. Maybe you need to know this God that I've been talking about. Maybe you've walked for a while and you don't recognize him. And you know, you wonder where he is in your suffering. Maybe you need to ask him to come into your life right now. Maybe you need to ask for eyes to see. Maybe you need to just drop your family before him. Maybe you need to surrender the things that you've been worrying about. Maybe you need to ask him for forgiveness for complaining and ask for him to give you a joyful heart, to trust him and rejoice in him. I don't know, whatever it is. Maybe you need to ask him who it is that you need to be invested into and making a difference with, who it is that you need to walk alongside of in their suffering. Do you hear me? Right now, this is not a spectator sport. This is a time for you to search your heart. Don't miss what God has for you today. Do not miss what he has for you right now. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't let anyone keep you. Right now, I ask that you would close your eyes and bow your heads, and we are going to take a few moments. I can't talk about walking with God. I can't talk about prayer. I can't talk about this without taking some time for it. So we're going to take a few moments, and I ask that you don't leave because the youth got a surprise for you at the end for the send-out. Anyways, that's besides the point. Let's take some moments, and let's talk to the Lord and let him search our hearts. Ask him. You guys, the first time I prayed, I was drunk. And I said, God, if you're real, show yourself to me. I don't care where you've been. I don't know if you haven't been to church in a while or you come regularly. Man, you need to maybe step out in faith and ask him to show up. Step out in faith and ask him to do something right now in your heart to experience his presence, because he is here and he wants to do something powerful in your behalf. Father, we ask God right now that you would come. Holy Spirit, come. Father, we ask God that you would reveal yourself to us. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would release faith in this place. God, I ask that you help us to mix, Lord, our faith with your promises, God. God, we ask, Lord, that you show yourself to us in our suffering, God. And Lord, yeah, we will have trouble and suffering in this world, but you've overcome this world. You give us your peace right now, God. I ask for your peace. If you need to come to the altar, if you need to get on your knees right now, find a place to spend with the Lord. Holy Spirit, right now, I ask that you search your hearts, God. God, that you help us not to care about our neighbor, but, Lord, to connect to you, to touch you, Lord, and allow you to touch us. Father, come. Would you move on the hearts of your children? Would you move on the hearts of the ones that you love? God, would you bring the oil of joy for depression, God? Would you bring gladness for mourning? God, would you bring peace for worry and burdens, God? Jesus, would you come? Would you come? Thank you, Father.